I don't know where you've ever heard about Viktor Frankl. He was an extraordinary man. Died about 25 years ago. He was from Austria, a medical doctor. But he was taken captive just because he was a Jew. And he ended up in a concentration camp in Auschwitz. There, he perceived and he looked at all the people in the camp. And he came to the conclusion that there are three types of people dealing with the dire needs in the concentration camp. The first group was the people that really gave up on life. They've lost all hope. They became zombies. They couldn't feel anything anymore. You could say they fled from life. The second group of people were people that decided to fight. They wanted to survive at any cost. So they would live with the motivation and the motto, if it's going to be, it's up to me. It's dark, eat dark out there. I've got to look after myself. Those people became very self-centered. Cruel in another sense of the word, because they didn't care about anybody else but their own needs. And then there were a third group of people. The circumstances in the concentration camp brought out the best in them. They became compassionate. They shared the food that they had, in spite of the fact that they were still hungry, with other people. And Viktor Frankl observed and said that these people were people that were really free, because they exercise what he called the last human freedom. And that is to decide how you're going to react in the circumstances you're in. Nobody can take that freedom away from you. And if you exercise it, your freedom grows. And then he observed that they found meaning and create meaning in their life by focusing on the needs of other people, by going further with their lives, and find meaning in something outside of themselves. Those were the people that really survived the concentration camp. And that's what happened to Viktor Frankl as well. He survived. He wrote all these experiences in a book, Man's Search for Meaning. He became a psychiatrist and the father of logotherapy. That's what happened to him. Now, I wonder, if we look around today in the circumstances we're in, if the same thing is not happening in the COVID concentration camp we are finding ourselves in. Perhaps you can just look at yourself. What's happening to you? Are you losing hope? Are you becoming very hard on the inside? Self-centered? Are you in survival mode? High aggression levels that you're living with? Or are you becoming more compassionate, other-centered? How's it possible for us to move to a place where we can still be free and still live in a locked up place like COVID? How? Three invitations from the psalm we're looking at today. The first comes from the second verse. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. Selah. Selah means pause and calmly think about it. Think about what? Well, this is a citation from Numbers 6, the high priestly blessing that teaches us that God looks at us. And the expression in the Bible is, he turns his face towards us. God is everywhere, but his face is not everywhere. just as you can be in a place with a lot of people and your presence is with everybody, but your face is directed to somebody specifically. You're giving your attention to somebody. Your presence makes it possible that a meeting can take place. And then something can be transferred in that meeting because you turn towards somebody else. And that's the teaching, that God looks. And then you can find favor in the eyes of God, which means that God looks at you and he likes what he's looking at. He favors you. And then he can say something about it. And then he can do something about it. Well, that's exactly what we learn about God in the first page of the Bible. God looked at Adam and Eve. He turned his face towards them. And then he said, "It is very good." They found favor in the eyes of God. And then he gave them Eden. He blessed them with the ability to name all their animals. Can you think about the intellectual capita that they would have sit with to be able to do something like that? And then he gives them a command to care for the garden. But he gave them the ability, the possibility, and everything that they need to do it. Well, the Father did that with his own Son. At the baptism, we read that God looked at his Son. And he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I have a favor." And then he gave him his Holy Spirit to enable him to live the unique life that he wanted him to live. And Jesus went around with a message that this wonderful news. Grace has come to you. God looks at you and he forgives you. He loves you. He's with you. And God blesses you with everything that you need to live your life. And he told his disciples that you are blessed. He told them that nothing can take away the blessing that they've been blessed with. In the Sermon of the Mount, he says that you're blessed even if you're poor, even if you're persecuted, even if you're rejected. Doesn't matter. You are blessed. He lived with a blessed consciousness. And he tried to embed it into his followers. So here's the first big invitation. Develop a blessed consciousness. And you can do that by seeking the face of God. You can do that by hearing the voice of God. Romans 8:16, Living Bible says that God speaks to us deep in our hearts. And he tells us we're the children of God. Can you hear that voice? We need to hear it more often, clearer than ever before. And then can you look around and just see at everything that you've got? It's a gift from God. So here's where things can go wrong. You're not aware of the fact that you need a blessing. You're not aware of the fact that you can't bless yourself. You're not aware of the fact that you are blessed and that everything that you have is from God. Now, if we focus on what we don't have, you will never develop a blessed consciousness. If you focus on the potential loss at the moment, you will not develop a blessed consciousness. If you think that everything that you've got, you deserve, and you worked for it, you cannot receive a blessed consciousness. In fact, you'll either be inflated or deflated. Inflated? Well, look at how good I am. Look at all the people that's so stupid, that doesn't work hard. You know, they challenged. Look at what I did. Inflated. And through being inflated, you lose contact with people. You don't feel for them. You can't have compassion with people if you look down at them. On the other side, there's a deflation. I'm getting stressed. There's only one cake, and the slices of the cake are going. I am my own source. If it's going to be, it's up to me. So I better fight, look after myself. Exactly the consciousness that's so part of the regression that takes place in the concentration camp that we're in. We're invited to look at God as our source, to hear His voice, to be blessed. It's much more than having a lot of stuff. It is having a lot of stuff on the inside, a consciousness that I'm accepted, that God loves me. I found favor in His eyes. So, the second invitation comes to us through these words. So that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. So this is the reason why we are blessed. And this is a citation from Genesis chapter 12. But God told Abraham, I'm blessing you, not for the sake of blessing, not to make you comfortable. I'm blessing you to become a blessing in the world, amongst the tribes, the nations, all the peoples of the world. So it's a mind shift, you know, to look at yourself and to look at everything that you have as for the sake of others. So the next invitation is to go further with your life. Move beyond the confines of yourself. Leave egocentricity behind. One of the invitations from the New Testament is to look at your household first of all. Look at your family, the extended family, your tribe. But move beyond that. To the nation, to the nations of the world, to all the people of the world. You see, here's the danger that in our development, we might get stuck. We might move beyond ourselves, but we might stuck to our household. We might stuck at our tribe. We might stuck at our nation. And we might talk about them, and we demonize them sometimes. They are against us. They're taking away our life and our life supply. We better fight them. They're our enemies. They are strangers, at least. So Jesus invited us to befriend the stranger, to ever increase the circle of influence and the circle of inclusion, and not to get stuck at a certain place of exclusion. Now I ask you, whether you don't think it might be something that's happening in the COVID camp we find ourselves in. There's this regression. It's all about me. Or it's all about me and my family. Or it's all about me and the tribe. Why the racism in this time of the pandemic? Why all the criminal activities of rich people? People that have enough, that take the supplies of the poor people to enrich them even further. It's a big regression. So the invitation is not to regress, but to progress, to go further with your life, to trust God with your life. It's exactly what Jesus did. Look at the way He died. In His concentration camp at the end of His life, He prayed and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He still feels for the other people. His life is not all wrapped up in Himself. He looked at His mother and said, Mother, would you please receive this gift from John and go and stay with him. He asked John, would you please, I know your house is full, but will you open up a room for my mom? Take her into your house and look after him. At the end of his life, he's still caring about other people. And Viktor Frankl said, the people need it, of course. He says, but you need it the most. because that is one of the signs in the and the ways to really further mental health in your life. So the last thing, may God bless us. May the people praise you. It's not happening at the moment, but there is this hope. There is this dream that one day all the nations of the earth will praise God. There is enough for everybody. So the invitation is to do it with hope. Because you'll find, once you become aware of the fact that you are blessed and that you have a lot to give, financially, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, it's not all that easy. Well, one of the first things that might happen to you is that you might be overwhelmed with a need. And a compassion fatigue might set in. And you might get to a place where you feel, but it doesn't help at all. I can't really make a difference. What does it help? And the invitation is just to do it with hope. Because what we're doing, it's not really saving the world. We can't do that. We do it as a sign of a new world coming. We do it as a sign that there is enough and that God cares. And one day, everything will change and God will rule this earth. And there will be enough for everybody. We're doing it in a protest against lack, against the enemy, a virus that takes away our humanity and takes away our life. We won't sit up with it. We're against it. That's why we do it. It's the right thing to do. The other reason or obstacle that we should overcome is intimidation, perhaps. The idea or the message that we get that we shouldn't share our faith. We shouldn't be a witness to what's happening to us in our lives, in our hearts. I don't know whether you ever got the message, please, we don't talk religion. It's very personal. Why are you trying to convince me and tell me all the stuff? Why do you do that? I thought about it. I wonder why we can't do that. Are you expecting me to become emotionally unhealthy? Not to share what's really happening in my life? Do you want me to become insincere? Do you want me to become a two-face? You know, do you want me to become superficial? I mean, you can talk about whatever you want to. You can talk about the Blue Bulls and your Ford Ranger, and it's okay. There's no taboos for you, but I'm not allowed to talk about something. But perhaps there's also some hurt about and behind an attitude like that. Why can't you accept me just for who I am? Why do we have to judge somebody if they found life in something else? Why should we make them feel guilty? Why can't we just accept them for who they are? But also, accept me for who I am. And can I share what's on my inside? I remember how I was evangelized by the person I'm living with and sharing my life with. She had this love for cats. I didn't like cats. And she just invited me to come and have a look at cats. And then she brought the cat back home. And you know what I did? I didn't tell her, how can you impose this on me to like cats? She said, I know you don't like it. I don't expect you to like it. But can you see why I like it? She opened up a little door in my heart. I don't know. I had a room for cats in me. And I fell in love. She evangelized me. And now I never told her. How dare you? How dare you, you Philistine, pushing this thing down my throat, because she didn't. She just shared a life with me. And I'm so thankful. Life is better. It's bigger. I've learned so much. I received so much. We shouldn't stop being a witness and share whatever we have with others. So where are you today, friend? Are you at a place where you're losing hope? I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in Matthew 10, where he said, don't quit. Don't cave in. He said, it would be well worth at the end. In times like these, it is not success you're after. It's survival. Be a survivor. Don't give in. Be a survivor. Perhaps you're at a place where you realize, I'm getting cold-hearted. I'm all self-centered. I'm living in anger. The invitation is to turn your face towards God. Seek the face of God for all of us. Let's hear that voice that tells us, you're my child, you're my daughter, you're my son, and I love you. You found favor in my eyes. And look at everything that he's giving us. And then look around you and see all the need and all the people that come your way. And it's for a reason. In what way can I share? Can I help? In that way, we can build the kingdom of God together. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you love us. Thank you that you make your face shine upon us, that we find grace in your eyes. Thank you. Thank you that you've blessed us. Open up our eyes to see it. Help us to open up our hearts to receive it. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And help us, O Father, to be a blessing. To in this world where there's so much cursing going on, we hear the message, you're not welcome. We're ignored sometimes. Thank you, Father, that we can be a light and that we can find life in being that light in the world. In the name of Jesus, amen. May he make his face shine upon you. May you find grace in the eyes of God. May he bless you. Amen.